you doing, man? This is Elvis, and we're here to kick off Horror Movie Night 2019 with a special guest. We've got a hunk of burning love, Ralph, also known as at VHS Dude on Instagram. Ralph, thanks for joining us, man, while we talk about Bubba Hotep, motherfuckers!
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
I like your Elvis impression.
Thank you.
That was a pretty good Elvis impression, man. Say, you want to swap with me?
He was here.
I was really hoping you were... I know it was a long shot, but I was really hoping someone's going to pick up the Office reference. But
no, taking a big yeah, jump there.
I love your Elvis impression. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
I like it better that we didn't get it and then you had to tell it to us.
So Ralph, I've actually known for many, many years through Geekscape, used to be a fairly regular guest on the Geekscape podcast. Pretty much whenever John wanted to talk about anything like 80s, you were like the 80s action guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird that I'm on a horror podcast because I'm not a horror guy.
But you were like, I do love me some Bubba Hotep. So
correct.
I mean, which is like basically borderline action movie anyway.
I got to come clean. I kind of fucked up.
Why were you?
Did you watch the wrong movie?
No, I didn't watch it at all.
What?
So here's the deal. I saw it in the movie theater. I bought it as soon as it came out on DVD. When I sold my DVD collection, I put it on my Apple TV and my hard drive. I've seen the movie a ton of times. I've had a busy week. And so yesterday I'm like, okay, I'm going to put it on my iPhone and I'll watch it at work because I work third shift. I'll watch it tonight. And I went, sat down for my lunch and it wasn't anywhere to be found. And I don't know if it's just hidden somewhere in there. I did a search.
It's
all
like Barry, it's hidden as like an Elvis movie.
The thing is, if you have the iPhone, it has that TV app and it shows you like your purchases and it shows you like iTunes. But I'm like, where's the stuff that I physically downloaded from my computer onto my phone? And I couldn't find it anywhere. But I've seen the movie plenty of times. I've listened to the commentary plenty of times.
There's a commentary with Elvis, which is amazing.
Yeah.
it's literally the entire movie with Bruce Campbell just doing his Elvis impersonation and being like, this guy don't look like me at all.
Man, that sounds so charming. And I want a copy of the movie now just to listen.
So this movie is so much fun. Right out the gate, like, I love the soundtrack to this movie. Like, the theme music is just so bluesy, and it's got, like, a good drive to it.
I definitely am going to be talking about that.
Let's start here. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's no need to wait.
Okay, so this the music is by Brian Tyler, who has gone on to do some of the biggest movies ever. I believe he has now composed the most Marvel movies.
Oh, really?
Composer, yeah. He just did Crazy Rich Asians.
He did do Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah, he's, oh my God.
I love Brian Tyler, and I've loved him since before this movie. And this is probably only maybe his, I don't know, third or fourth film. And I will talk about one of his other films later when we talk about the double feature, because it's not horror, but I think it'll fit right into this. I think it would be a good double feature. Anyway, I love Brian Tyler. Met him once, great guy, and deserves all the success because, like, even just the work he put into this score is amazing. And he's a dude that, like, performs all his own tracks.
Yeah, I was going to say, DVD has that feature where you can watch him recording the theme song.
Yeah.
And it's got him behind the drum set playing all of the different instruments throughout on the keys and everything. Yeah. It's like, man, this dude's fucking talented.
Yeah.
And I never heard of him before this movie.
Yeah.
I had no clue that he was doing all the Marvel film. Like,
yeah,
sorry,
he's done
film.
Like,
that's crazy.
I think he's done like every Fast and Furious movie since Tokyo Drift, which I don't know if you guys are fans or not, but his main theme for Fast and Furious is awesome. When it pops up on my shuffle, I get pumped up.
I mean, okay, so his song from Fast and the Furious versus the Mortal Kombat theme, I mean, that's really the
yeah.
They're pretty close.
Mortal Kombat, man, I'll punch somebody in the face the second that song comes out. I'm not a violent man, but damn it.
Not anybody bigger than me, but like a small child.
I'll fuck an 8-year-old. I actually saw this movie, I think, 3 times in the theaters because they...
Oh, wow.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You might know this better than I do, Ralph. But they only had like a couple actual copies of this movie and they would just keep traveling around the U.S. with it. But every time that it hit Philly, I would make it a point to go and take people who hadn't seen it yet.
Well, I live in Southern California where they movies in limited runs.
It's just like, it's just permanently there all the time.
Yeah. So we saw it at our local theater, which it was like an AMC. I'm a fan of Don Coscarelli, but I'm not going to say that. I'm a fan of Beastmaster. And you guys will probably jump on me. And, you know, I do like 80s movies, but I haven't seen Phantasm.
I'm not going to jump on you for Phantasm. I'm going to jump on you for not watching Phantasm 2.
you would like Phantasm 2. It's definitely more of an action movie than Phantasm.
It's a straight action movie.
Random tangent 80s action films. I just heard of a movie. Someone showed me a clip. I don't know if you've even put it on your Instagram before. Action USA. Have
you seen it? It sounds familiar.
My friends showed me a clip where a dude just basically drives a car through a house and then the entire house blows up. Apparently, it was like a movie.
Great.
Oh, apparently it was written, directed, and starring all stuntmen who were like, we want to make our own movie. And they made Action
I love
USA.
That. Dude, one of the Hal Needham. He was a former stuntman. If you were to look at my personal bio, like if you go to @CasinoSkunk on Twitter, my bio for the last, like, I don't know, as long as we've had bios has been the opening sentence of the Mega Force Wikipedia entry. And that's like Hal Needham, like, was a stuntman who went and just directed stunt movies. But yeah, so like as far as Don Coscarelli goes, like Beastmaster is one of my all-time favorite movies.
That movie scared the ever-loving shit out of me when mm-hmm. I saw it on TV as a kid because it was
it the eyeball in the ring?
No, actually,
oh, that scared
it was
me
when
I was a kid.
It was I think that this is Beastmaster when those bat-winged creatures like liquefy someone. That's Beastmaster, right?
Yeah,
that was like the first horror thing I ever saw, I think.
The first horror thing I ever remember seeing was Cujo.
Really?
That scared the crap out of me, yeah.
That's like, I don't know. I think mine was Monster Squad or Beetlejuice. I have a distinct memory of I was like 4 and I was home from school. I was homesick or something. And it was one of those, like, we had the free cable for, like, a month when they were, like, trying to be like, hey, here's a month of HBO. Like, you should buy it. And I was flipping through the channels, and I clicked on – it ended up being Reanimator. And it was
– oh, my God.
It was literally the point where the headless body attacks Herbert West, and I was just like, no! I was like, I can't even comprehend what I just looked at.
Yeah, I'm not into horror, but there are some horror movies more that lean towards the comedic side that I like, and Reanimator is one of them.
Oh, it's so bombastic.
I just recently saw Bride of the Reanimator for the
first time.
Oh,
so good.
They, because, like, I don't know, you know if you know this, but like Arrow Video, unless I'm buying VHS tapes, I get all my stuff digitally through iTunes, and like during all of October, Arrow Video had movies for $3.99, and like Reanimator was one of them, and it's loaded with like at least like 10 hours of extra features. And Bride of the Reanimator was $3.99. I grabbed that.
Dude, Bride is so fun.
I loved it.
I've actually never saw the second one.
It's fun. Reanimator. It amps it up.
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, you have seen the second one because you watched Patchwork, but
yeah, if you've seen Patchwork, you've seen Bride of the Reanimator, basically. So Bubba Hotep, I'll say there's one scene in this movie. For the most part, this movie is pretty upfront with being a comedy. There's a couple moments of like real sincere, heartfelt moments.
Mm-hmm.
But the only part where I actually feel genuine sadness is there's the girl in the iron lung.
Oh, she takes her glasses.
Yeah, she takes her glasses and the lady just goes, no. And I, like, my heart breaks every time. I'm like, oh man, I hope that bitch gets eaten by some type of mummy.
Well, your wish comes true. Like, believe it or not, this was a first watch for me.
You've never seen this before? Oh. Yeah. How are you my brother?
Like, you know, I just never saw it. I don't know.
Yeah, like, don't be a dick.
What'd you think?
I've actually only seen about 5% of the movies Matt's seen, so I'm at like 900.
Well, what did you think of it? Like, I mean, this movie's got to be, what, like 15 years old?
Yeah.
It was super fun. Like, it was super fun. It was always something I knew. It was always something I knew I would enjoy. I think the time away of knowing of the movie and having Bruce Campbell attached to it, I think the only thing I didn't like was I was expecting more of a horror feel. Like, I was expecting like more action.
Not a very fast paced. Well, that's what's so, I think that's, it's baked into the premise of the film is that they're old and slow. Yeah. And even the monster is old and slow. And so I saw this in, I want to say, 2004 on DVD. You know, I was in college and I think I was home for a break or something, and or a summer or something. And I rented it and I was really disappointed. I was like, this is not entertaining to me. And I put it away. And then as I've gotten older, I've been like, you know, I really want to revisit Bubba Hotep. And now I watched it again for our show and I loved it. I think that the good stuff about it is better.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know, like the stuff that bugged me as a kid, I think I just didn't, or as a, you know, as a young adult.
I watched this at 7 a.m. this morning. and I watched this by myself. So if I'm watching both a movie first thing in the morning and by myself, my chances of laughing out loud are slim to none.
Yeah.
But I will say this. There's a scene in this movie that I laughed out loud to the point that I thought I woke up Jade. And it was like my dad laughed, like just a single like, huh! Ralph, this is going to paint a picture of how much of a child I am. But it's when he goes, you want a ding dong? No, not my ding dong, a chocolate ding dong.
Well, I guess it would be because...
Well, I guess mine's a chocolate ding dong since the die. That shit killed me.
Yeah.
Usually my favorite part of the movie.
My favorite part in this whole movie is the flashback sequence. Where he's telling how he took over this guy's life and just like the camera shots of Bruce Campbell out there doing the kicks and the karate on stage and dancing with the boa and like it's so good. It's so funny. His interaction with his nurse throughout the movie is just delightful. He's just such a salty, angry old man.
Yeah, wait. I got a line. You can fuck off, you patronizing bitch. I'm sick of your shit. I live my own crankshaft from now on.
I just love, there's metaphors in the narration that are just so crude.
Oh, like, yeah.
What is he goes, I felt my pecker flutter like a pigeon having a heart attack.
Oh, man. I love how much he talks about his limp penis in this.
Yeah.
Here, right, so, let me, I want to paint a picture for you, all right? I was dreaming my dick was out and I was checking to see if that infected bump on the head of it had filled with pus again. If it had, I was going to name that bump after my ex-wife, Scylla, and bust it by jacking off.
It's so
that's
vulgar.
That's the first scene of the entire movie.
We established the movie with. Yeah. That's the
trendsetter. Oh, the other great metaphor is, oh, I got a bird's eye view of her love nest. And I was like, that is pure poetry right there. When the daughter of his
which fuck his that room girl. Buddy. She is such a jerk in this movie.
I think that's the point though.
Oh, yeah. I know, but it's so like it gets, I think it's because like I know Brian and I have a very close relationship with the grandparents in our lives.
Right.
So like the idea of just like someone just abandoning their grandparent and never visiting until they're dead.
That's her dad.
Or even worse. Yeah,
oh, you're like, not going to see dad. You're going to see dad once and he's going to be on life support and you're going to walk in and you're going to be like, dad. And he's just going to be like, I'm upset with you. And you're going to be like, this is it. I'm done. Die here.
That's depressingly accurate. But
I wanted a son.
My dad is going to complain until the day he dies, which in his mind is soon. My dad is Red Fox, for those who don't know. Every minor inconvenience, he's like, this is it. I had a good run. I hope you guys can support yourselves because I got about 3 hours to live.
He's told us that he wasn't going to be alive for our high school graduations. He wasn't going to see us graduate college. He probably wasn't going to be there to teach us how to drive a car. He probably wasn't going to make it to any of our weddings. He has been just just counting down the days.
Yeah.
So here's a question that I do find interesting. Do you believe him? Do you believe that he's really Elvis, or do you believe what everyone says, that he's just a guy who's kind of lost his mind? I know it doesn't matter, but I'm curious.
I think he's really Elvis.
I kind of almost feel like I believe JFK more.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a sincere performance.
Oh, he steals the show. The JFK is the best character in the movie.
Yeah, but I want to believe it. Yeah. I think it's a great take on growing up in the 80s. You would see that, read the tabloids that, you know, Elvis is still alive, and I like that they play off of that. And I think it's an interesting concept where, you know, he is alive, but he's takes over for this Elvis impersonator, and then now he's stuck. No one believes him.
Yeah. What's it called? I'm a sucker for conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you know.
More. I keep in mind, me being a sucker for conspiracy theories, I treat them like movies. I don't believe any of them really. Yeah. But I decided, it's, I was like, you know, let me brush up on this Elvis conspiracy. And I gotta say, out of all the celebrities that are still alive, Elvis is probably one of the weakest
arguments
ever. They're like, his nose is flat, and he looked different when he was breathing. Oh, you mean like alive?
So if I understand correctly, this is part of a short, like, this is based on a short story, and I think the full book was that the guy felt like Elvis was this American icon, and he dies in this really embarrassing way of like overdosing on the toilet. And he wanted to like basically create an entire book of short stories where Elvis dies in more heroic ways. So like, that's why at the end it says like, tune in for Bubba Hotep versus Nosferatu, the vampire king or whatever, where he literally just wrote a book series of Elvis fighting different mythical creatures. And I want to find this book. I've wanted to find this book since I saw this movie in 2002. And I don't know if it's like readily available or what, but damn it, if that's not an awesome idea for a book series.
Add that shit to your Amazon wish list, buddy.
I might have to. I will say my two favorite lines in the movie. There's an Elvis line and there's a JFK line. The Elvis line, it's all about the way he says it, but it's when he's telling the story of what happened to him. And he just goes, you know, I was gyrating up there, you know, taking care of business. And then my hip went out. and that I love. And then the JFK line that I adore is when he opens up the drawer of candy and he just goes, let's get decadent. he's just their friendship in this movie is so charming. And I love that, like, this entire retirement home just has a whole bunch of people who think that they're someone else.
Yeah.
Like the one guy who thinks he's the Lone Ranger. He's like, that's my best friend, Kimusabi. it's such a fun movie.
I was just saying, speaking of that retirement home, so the exteriors were shot in my hometown.
Oh, really?
In Downey, California. There's this, I don't know how many acres, but it's this huge, huge plot of land in my hometown of Downey. It's called Rancho Los Alamitos, I believe. I'm sure you can look it up. But it used to be like this huge, like, VA hospital compound type of place, and then became like a sort of mental institute. And this house is just kind of plopped right in the middle of this this huge property. And the thing is, that property is accessible to anybody, so we can drive in there and walk through this abandoned mental hospital.
And that's awesome.
There's all kinds of, like,
my next California trip.
Yeah.
there's spooky shit in there. So if you get a chance, look it up.
It does look terrifying. Every time that they're inside, it looks terrifying. Like,
I don't know if the inside was the same as the exteriors, but the exteriors was definitely shot in Downey.
This movie, and I think that it captures it captures a tone where it's just so rewatchable too. Like that was the big reason why I saw it three times. Like I saw it three times in theaters. Like you did, Ralph. I bought it the second it came on DVD and I could like, I think the first year that I owned this movie, I had to have watched it like 10 to 15 times, just showing it to people and like quoting it after they had seen it. And it's just one of those movies where you, like, if I see someone rocking a shirt that's Bubba Hotep, I'm going to start quoting the movie at them. Like, it's just, it gets you so hyped up. You're like, yeah, fucking Bubba Hotep. The only thing that I don't like about this movie is I've always hated the mummy design.
He's kind of
Jeepers Creepers-y.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Jeep. Oh, actually, Jeepers Creepers was first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2000.
It's just kind of like, I don't hate, like, I like how Scott called it out of like, it's a bunch of old people who are old and slow versus a monster that's also old and slow.
Old and slow. Yeah. But that, so it makes sense when you watch it like that. But when I watched it in like 2003 or four, I was like, this movie's kind of disappointing. But no, like, it definitely, you have to put yourself in the mindset. You know,
and that's where it's almost better than it should be. Like, in a way, it's a very smart, touching story. Mm-hmm. And it's probably, I would argue, it's probably one of Don's best movies because it's so accessible. Absolutely. Compared to everything else.
I would say that this is my second favorite Don Coscarelli. Obviously, Phantasm 2 is my favorite. But
not nearly as accessible as this to other people. You can't walk someone down to watch Phantasm 2.
No. Well, I mean, it depends on the person. If the person's ready for some bombastic shit, then you can make them watch Phantasm 2. And they don't have to see the first one either.
Okay, cool. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, like, they do the thing where they just show what happens in the first one. They show
the first one in 5 minutes and then are like, that was all a dream, but here's the real, it's like the ending of Clue. They're like, that was what could have happened, but here's the real story. Great pick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Because I got some disappointing ones on our horizons. So.
Yeah, you do. So I got to talk about a couple things because I can tell that we're definitely winding down and getting to our double feature here. But so, man, that is one big bitch cockroach. I love that scarab cockroach fight scene. It's just total entertainment. It's just so fun. It's very Don Coscarelli, you know, like it's just, it's a really good time. But then also... 20 years ago, man, I could have gotten her with my curly lip smile eating out of my asshole. Because he's talking about getting the lotion rubbed on his dick
pecker
bump, his pecker bump. And then he like gets a boner and she's like, you need a cold shower.
She goes, ooh, Elvis.
Yeah. So that's what makes me really believe that he is Elvis.
Yeah.
Because it was never a question in my mind the second time watching through. I was like, yeah, it's fucking Elvis.
As disappointing as the mummy is, the Elvis makeup.
The fact that he sucks souls out of your asshole, that is not disappointing. It's hilarious.
But the makeup on the Elvis is fantastic.
Yeah, I think the makeups, I just don't. See, for me, my favorite looking mummy of all time is always going to be the Monster Squad mummy. I love like this skinny, dilapidated, wrapped up in bandages with like a skull face. And this, the fact that he's kind of more just like a cowboy, kind of like. Well,
you know what? What kind of sucks is a couple of years before this, the Frighteners came out and John Astin played the judge. And that makeup effect.
I like
that,
when they lost still.
Yeah, if you had gotten that version of a cowboy where he's like all rotted out, I would be like whole like super on board.
The last thing. I don't want him slapping his lips on my asshole. And that's the last thing I have.
Mr. Paris, set a course. Set a course. Set a course for the unstoppable Jack and Jen podcasting the impossible. Star Trek Voyager being the material. Wine is the vehicle, just like milk for your cereal. Here we go, blasting to the Delta Quadrant. Uncharted territory, but we're on it. So pour me another glass of Cabernet, cause it pairs with a different part of the galaxy. Never in my life was a crew so brave. Never was a time that I lacked rosé. But you learn something new each and every day. To explore new things is a Starfleet way. Podcast hailing from the Geekscape Nation. Talking Star Trek with the wine persuasion. So you wanna live long and prosper fine, then you better tune in to Seven of Wine.
And this is Seven of Wine, where we review an episode of Star Trek Voyager and a bottle of wine at the same time.
Wow. what was your Bubba Hotep double feature? I know, Ralph, you said you had something up your sleeve tied to Brian Taylor, so let's start with that.
Yeah, so a few years before this, I think it was 97, I could be wrong, Brian Tyler did the score and music for a film called Six String Samurai.
Oh, wow, that does tie into this
one. Oh, yeah, it does.
you guys heard of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like another rock and roll alternate reality movie that, you know, is along the same lines. And Brian Tyler's score to that film is very similar to this. It's very guitar heavy. And then it's got like the soundtrack by the Red Elvises. And it's an action movie where it's an alternate reality where Russia takes over the United States in the 50s, in an alternate reality 50s. And I believe it's now 1977. Elvis has died. And Buddy Holly is now slashing his way to Las Vegas to become the new king.
Oh, man. And, you know, I knew a little bit about it, but that just solidifies the fact that I'm picking that. I'm putting it on my pick list for our Patreon episodes. That's happening.
Yeah. I love that movie.
So I had a real struggle with this one because this movie really is kind of unlike most other movies. And I'm not a big Mummy fan, and I didn't want to just pick like any other Bruce Campbell or Don Coscarelli movie. So I'm going to pick a movie that we've done previously on this show just because it involves someone dressed as Elvis at one point in the movie, Rockula, which only I enjoyed when we did it. So.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
What a shit movie.
All right, well, then you do better with your double feature, Brian.
So I was going to do Army of Darkness, but I'm like, that's too easy, you know? So
I just rewatched that. That's so good, though.
So I'm like,
so somebody that says they don't like horror movies, for someone who says they don't like horror movies, you like a lot
of
horror
I skew towards like the more comedic stuff, like Return of the Living Dead and stuff like that. But then, I mean, when it comes to like Bruce Campbell movies, like one of the reasons I got this DVD as fast as I did, because back then Bruce Campbell commentaries were amazing.
Yeah The chin, he's gonna be at Monster Mania in the summer, right, Matt?
The October,
September
one.
Oh, October. Okay,
so yeah, you
October.
Didn't pick Army of Darkness?
No, I didn't pick Army of Darkness. I was thinking, what else was Bridget Fonda in? I'm like, she wasn't Jackie Brown.
Here it comes. Keaton,
who wasn't Beetlejuice. So there's my 16th. And then I decided to scratch all of that just to get a Beetlejuice thing, and I would do They'd Live because they're both like fun. They're both fun movies to watch.
I mean, sometimes that's all that a double feature needs is they're both fun.
Two good times.
Which is why
I mean, this is really a stretch for any horror. Like, it's not really a horror at all, but I'm trying to think of like horror fun comedy. And I think They Live is more of a comedy to me and everyone else that's ever seen it.
All right. And for mine, I'm keeping it pretty relevant here, but I have a good reason why. I mean, topical. And recent, I'm going to pick my favorite movie of 2018, Mom and Dad, because they have the same concept of like, where did my life go? You know?
I think that's fair.
So,
Is Nicolas Cage in that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, played Elvis before.
Is Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is the most Nicolas Cage he's ever been in a movie.
That's my 2018 pick. Oh, that's right. He has.
But, so before we wrap up this episode entirely, though, Ralph, I do want to talk about your Instagram a little bit, because the idea of these Instagram pages have started to really pop up and become more and more popular lately, where people are just kind of sharing really obscure deep cut VHS clips. How did you get involved in that scene, and why do you think that it's as popular as it is?
Well, I think it goes back to Geekscape times. I don't know. Everyone knows Geekscape here.
Yeah.
But Jonathan used to do these things called gauntlets where now MST3K is doing their own gauntlet. But he would show we watched like three shitty VHS movies in one night.
Jesus, and that sounds rough.
I was 100% on board with it because I grew up in the 80s and I was a huge fan of VHS. And I always, you know, I kind of like gravitated towards that. And a few years back, I started collecting VHS tapes and going and finding weird stuff. And it was just taking up shelf space for no reason other than to please myself. And I felt like my wife was probably not on board with all of these crazy VHS tapes showing up. I have like piles on my floor. And so at the time I was working for like a social networking company that does that kind of shit, SEO and stuff. And I'm like, man, anyone can do a lot of stuff for free. And so I'm like, that's what I'll do. I'll make it so I have a purpose or a reason to have all of these VHS tapes scattered across the floor. And around the time I started posting the Instagram and the Vine account, I miss that. VHS started just blowing up again. And it just popped in at the right time. And I think I had something like 750,000 followers on Vine. No, yeah. That's not.
Well, Vine's coming back. I know. Supposedly.
I know. I've taken a break from Instagram for a while just because it's like, it's tough going through some of these tapes, you know, and I'm so busy doing like my other podcast and stuff. And I have my own Patreon page. So it's like, I'm constantly just throwing other stuff out there that I took a break, but with the new Vine coming out, I might be back on board because it's a lot more fun finding a good solid, like a really, really good 6 second chunk of random video that's out of context, as opposed to having like a minute to play with on Instagram. So
that makes sense.
I'm looking forward to that.
And real quick, plug the podcast too, because you do a kaiju podcast, right?
Yeah. So if I don't know if any of you guys are fans of the show Lost.
I couldn't get into it.
Oh, that's right. You used to have that. You had like one of the biggest Lost podcasts on the internet. I forgot that you did that.
Yeah, this was like back in 2006, where we got up to number 4 in TV and film. Yeah. We were ahead of Ellen and Shark Week.
Really?
That's how little podcasts were. And I think we got up to number 16 in all podcasts.
Yeah, it was crazy because I remember that now that you say that, that's a big thing, was like Jonathan would have you on
for the final
episodes of Lost each season.
But so through that podcast, I became friends with Jorge Garcia, who plays Hurley on the show. And we have a mutual love for Godzilla and King Kong and Gamera and everything kaiju related. And so a couple of years ago, we decided to start a kaiju podcast, and that's what it's called. It's called the Kaiju Podcast because that name wasn't taken. And so we took it.
I had no clue that you did it with Hurley from Lost.
Yeah. We're coming up on our 2 year anniversary at the beginning of January 1st, I think is our second year anniversary. And we post every other Monday and we have not missed a deadline. So we both have very busy schedules, but we try to bank enough episodes. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we find time in our schedule to do that. He's in Hawaii, I'm in California, and he's doing Hawaii 5-0. So it's like we find the time to do it, and we have a deep love for kaiju movies, which, you know, early on would be considered horror, I guess.
Yeah, I just started getting into them. Like for years, I like was interested in them, but like the last like year or two I was like, all right, I'm gonna buy like this Godzilla box set, I'm gonna buy this Mothra box set, I'm gonna get some of these Gamora movies, and like I have a fucking blast with those movies. They are so just fun and lighthearted.
What's great about the podcast too is they're about a half hour to an hour depending on how excited we are about the movie, but we only talk about that movie, so you don't have to, like, there's no real running jokes. So if you happen to watch a Godzilla movie, we probably have an episode for it. You can listen to that. You don't have to jump in at the beginning and listen all the way through. So, yeah, check it out.
It's very, very cool. Yeah. Go check out the Kaiju Podcast. Also, you know, follow VHS Dude on Instagram, and he'll post a link to Vine whenever that comes back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy the Vine days.
Yeah.
But that was Bubba Hotep from 2002, as picked by Scott. You know, 2019 is going to be an interesting year. We'll say that. We're kicking it off. It's, you know, we did something lighthearted and well-known right out the gate. It's going to get a little crazy from this point on, guys. We're just kind of throwing shit at the wall, you could say. And really, at the end of the day, we're just doing it for the lulz. So you need to check in next week and see what we talk about, because things are going to get... Things are going to get fucking weird. All right. We're going to get weird.
I think is next week your fault, actually?
Next week is my fault. Yeah. So But hopefully our show will put a smile on your face, and you can let us know if it did by rating and reviewing us on iTunes and following us on all of our social media platforms. That is HMN Podcast for damn near everything. Twitter, Instagram, and all the other stuff. Find our Facebook page, all that good jazz. It's the most exciting spot on the internet to talk about horror. And I do truly believe that. So thank you guys for all your support in the last, we're going on, this is year four, kicking off year four. So thank you for allowing that to be a thing. And we'll be back next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.